superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
When I am thinking about this,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't truly linger too long about what it would mean that Trevor Lawrence would come and be the quarterback of the Jets.
What a run by Trevor Lawrence!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, SportsCenter host Scott Van Pelt. Coming up, NFL Network analyst Joe Thomas. Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Plus, Tenet writer and director Christopher Nolan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Scott Van Pelt about last night's Monday Night Football game. Joe Thomas, Cleveland Brown great, future Cleveland Brown Hall of Famer, will be joining us here in 15 minutes' time to talk about last night's game. He sent me a text saying, hey, can you hit me with topics?
Yeah, of course.
About what you want to talk about. I wrote back, Browns.
Yep.
Browns.
Okay.
Browns.
Yep.
Was Lamar pooping? And I didn't, you know, use that word. I kind of worked blue on the text.
Oh, okay, great.
But yeah. So that's coming up. right here on the show. Austin Eckler, hour three, and Christopher Nolan. I mean, I can't wait for this conversation. He is the writer director of Tenet. If you haven't seen Tenet, you got to. Don't worry, our conversation won't spoil it, because you kind of need to see Tenet to understand it, and then maybe multiple times to understand it. Christopher Nolan, who directed and wrote great movies like Memento, Interstellar, also the Batman trilogy, he's all been about, you know, going inside your mind and thinking about time reversal and moments in time that can be captured and then reversed. And it's just remarkable how his brain works. And we're going to talk movies with him. And we will ask him what his remote drop movie is, his favorite remote drop movie is, later on. That's in hour number three. It's going to be great. Can't wait for that. Austin Eckler will join us as well in hour number three from the Los Angeles Chargers. We just kind of workshopped a new poll question, right, Christopher? What do we have over there?
We did. So we're working on it. We were just talking about Lamar versus Baker and how awesome that was last night.
Twice a year we're going to see
and
now.
We get it twice a year coming up. Like, so what's the best division QB rivalry?
Yes.
Let's look into the future. So let's say for the next 5 years.
Yes.
Lamar v. Baker. Russ versus Kyler.
Yes.
Awesome. Tua versus Josh Allen in the AFC East.
Right.
And then we kind of need one more. We threw out Herbert versus Mahomes. I don't know if Herbert's there yet, but, I mean, fantasy this year, Herbert's been awesome.
Right.
Is there anybody else?
Well, let me see here.
Like, Deshaun Watson really doesn't have that rival in the NFC, in the AFC South.
Well, I mean, Herbert is going to Arrowhead to end the season, and his first career start was against Mahomes, and he almost beat him, and we know he didn't even know he was starting until literally the ball had just been kicked off, as he told us a few weeks ago here. I mean, we could throw him in there. I got one for you. How about Tua versus Trevor?
I mean, I'd rather put Josh Allen versus Trevor Lawrence.
Let's do Herbert versus...
Okay. I mean, there's nothing in the NFC South. I mean, Brady and Breeze are the old guys.
Right.
They're not going to play five more years, I don't think.
Hurts versus Daniel Jones. I think it's Herbert versus Mahomes.
It doesn't ring like Herbert versus
Mahomes. Or just leave them out. Just sometimes you don't need to fill in a fourth, right? Yeah. Or just put them in there. What do we do? Rich Eisen Show, go vote for it. You can call us at 844-204-RICH as well if you want. You know, I always look at my Twitter feed during commercial breaks. Don, would you put up Daryl Morey's latest tweet? Now, that's an emoji that's just like angry, right? Like you're angry about something.
I think so.
That's it.
Frustrated.
Just frustrated and angry. What do you think that's about?
I'm hoping nobody got hurt in practice.
No. I was thinking he's trying to get hardened. Right. Yeah, trying to get hardened, and the Rockets are playing too hardball with him. I mean, if we're at all interpreting Daryl Morey just doing that, isn't just one emoji to try and express something without any context except what we're placing upon it? Isn't that the ultimate NBA Twitter move? Right? Didn't NBA players like 2 years ago just do one emoji series after another, and it was insane, right?
It was
I forget what it was.
DeAndre from the Clippers. They were trying to get him because remember he had verbally agreed to the Mavericks, and then Blake Griffin and all those guys flew to Dallas to try to get him to come back to the Clippers.
Don stayed at his crib all night.
Don Bowie just told me in my ear that if you play HMPF, HMPH, if you put that in your phone, that's the emoji that's like, not happy about something. I wonder what that is.
Let's call him and find out.
Yeah, it's because he's going to have to trade Ben Simmons for James Harden.
Hit him up right now. Rich, he'll pick up your call.
That's true. He probably will.
This is some real flex stuff right here. Flex hard on
him. I'll just
text Daryl Morey and be like, you good?
I'll just shoot him a text with the shrug emoji.
Yeah. You good?
There you go.
Like, I'll do a Van Pelt.
Something's going on.
It's that John Michael Wozniak after beating Michael Jordan in quarters.
Okay. What's that about? Okay. An NFL week is in the books. By the way, week 14 was just dynamite. And it felt like the old days, right? It felt like all the games went off as scheduled. We didn't have a Thursday game played on a Tuesday or scheduled for Sunday and then Friday and all that craziness. By the way, when a Christmas game is played on Friday, an NFL game will have been played on every day of the week this year. By the way, when that Christmas game happens on the Friday of Christmas between the Saints and the Vikings. Pretty big football game, too. So week 14 was dynamite, and it's now time for Four Downs right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Four Downs with Rich.
Here we go.
First down.
Okay, everybody. Hit me with some NFL Films music, if you don't mind, Freeman, please. Okay, so just gets me in the mood. Certainly when we're talking about the de facto home team of NFL Films, the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm all here for Jalen Hurts starting. Big fan of the kid. And we don't know what the steaks, his steaks, the Wentz steaks, the cheese steaks, all of them. I am whiz Jalen right now, and nice. Because every single one of his three remaining starts could not be more fascinating, starting with his game this very week for the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, so it's the guy who was his predecessor in Oklahoma taking on the guy who followed in Oklahoma. Arizona just gained the seventh seed at 7-6 with a ton of momentum. Here comes Jalen Hurts, zero sacks. He's moving around. He's making plays. He's coming into Arizona. Hurts versus Kyler Murray. Come on now. Here we go. And then next up for Philadelphia, OMG, it's the Dallas Cowboys in AT&T Stadium, the rivalry of Philadelphia and Dallas. It's Jalen Hurts in AT&T Stadium where he got his first career start as an Alabama Crimson Tide in that stadium, boat racing USC back in the day, 52-6. His last win as an Oklahoma Sooner was in that building in the Big 12 championship game against Baylor. He likes the building. He knows how to win in that building. It is a big NFC East stage. And guess what? If they win both of those games, that last game against the Washington football team in Philadelphia could very well be for the division. That's a fact. That's a fact. Because Washington's got a very difficult game, certainly if it's going to be Dwayne Haskins moving forward. They have to play Seattle and Carolina at home before that Philadelphia Eagles game. Philadelphia wins out. They have a shot to win the division. And I'll get on that in a little bit more here. But every Jalen Hurts start could not be more fascinating. That's first down. Let's get to second down here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Second down.
All right, Chris, we asked about it yesterday, right? When we were like, you know, did the Jets really have to lose out to get every last single one of these games?
Yeah, if, say, you know, they beat the Patriots in Week 17, does Jacksonville jump ahead of them?
I asked the NFL, one of the scheduling, if you will, playoff scenario gurus, Mike North, this very question last night. I'll read you what he wrote me back.
Fantastic. I'm on
It's a little bit dense, but this is it. If the Jets and Jacksonville finish with the same record, then strength of schedule will determine the number one pick. Whichever 1-15 team had the easier schedule is theoretically the worst team, and they'd get the first pick.
Whoa, okay.
So right now, you're taking a look at the standings right now, and Jacksonville's strength of schedule is 536. The Jets is 592. Oh. Jacksonville's strength of schedule is far easier, and thus they would be in the pole position over the Jets. He wrote then, at first glance, I think the Jacksonville has the easier schedule so far, but not sure they've clinched that for the season yet over the Jets. We'd have to look at every team Jacksonville and the Jets have played and see how many wins they have and how many more wins they could still acquire. Theoretically, if every and every team that the Jets has played loses out, somebody, again, somebody's got to win Miami, New England, and New England, Buffalo.
Right.
Jacksonville's schedule might finish as a tougher slate than the Jets, but it sure doesn't look that way right now.
Oh, my God.
Keep losing, Jets. Keep losing. Because if Jacksonville catches the Jets, they're going to get Trevor Lawrence unless some sort of statistical anomaly rears its ugly head like Greg Williams blitzing eight. Third down.
Third down.
Miami, people. Miami lost to Kansas City, but they still won. How did they lose but still win? Because Bill O'Brien made that trade with them for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, who, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, is back in Miami. So, put it all together, and they flipped Laremy Tunsil to Houston and Stills for a cup of coffee there. And now Houston has been eliminated from the playoff possibility. They are been eliminated. So, we'll see how they finish up for the next three games. But right now, Miami is on the clock thanks to Bill O'Brien, eighth overall. And Houston finishing its season, again, wondering how much they're going to keep on crushing it. They're at Indianapolis next, Cincinnati, and then Tennessee. They could lose two more times. Miami could wind up with a top five pick, top six pick, and still make the playoffs with Tua, still get his beak wet considerably, and make the playoffs. Be in the playoffs, start your franchise quarterback, get his feet wet, maybe win a playoff game, and still pick sixth overall with another of your own first-round draft choices in the back pocket that currently is 21. How about that, right?
Unreal. That would be just
all right,
ridiculous.
Fourth down. Now, thanks to our friend Tom Person at Cedar Spills, I don't have to get up.
I don't have to tap dance.
You don't have to tap dance because the new hot take plank is small enough for me to just place next to the desk. So, anyway.
Still needs a mask.
We've both been tested. So, hot take plank is clutched. I just mapped it out for you about how fascinating these starts are for the Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts. The Philadelphia Eagles right now are 4-8-1. Right in front of them are the Giants at 5-8. Behind them is Dallas at 4-9. That one tie, we talked about it with Florio earlier in the week, can actually really help them when it all comes down to it. Just a half game behind the Giants. And then a game and a half behind Washington, who they play at the end of the season. And I'll tell you this, if Washington comes into that game at 7-8 or 6-8, or, you know, 6-9, the Philadelphia Eagles have a chance to win this one. And Washington's got a game against Seattle and against Carolina. If Philadelphia wins out, they can win this division. And that's my fourth down hot take. The Eagles are far from done.
Oh, man.
Eagles are far from done. Washington could stumble, and if Philadelphia wins out, which is entirely possible, They're going to win the division anyway. And Jalen Hurts is going to start a playoff game. Maybe against Seattle. You think about that? Jalen Hurts versus Russell Wilson? So his next four starts could be fascinating. All of it. Do not sleep on the Philadelphia Eagles right now, people. They can win it. They can win it. One, they don't have much margin for error. But Jalen Hurts, number two in your program, number one in your heart. We just saw last night, number eight in your program, number two in a locker room.
Here he goes. Which, here he goes.
Which we'll talk about with Joe Thomas when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, man, the fruit is hanging very low, and we are plucking it ripe from the football tree today. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Okay, Bayside's back, everybody. Get so excited. Saved by the Bell. Streaming now on Peacock. A Peacock original.
What was that?
What? Isn't that the way it's said?
Well, you kind of have to be like, she's like crying while she's saying
it. Oh, I didn't know.
She was like having kind of a panic attack.
Okay. I just said it like.
Well, you just said it like, you know, like you're excited. But
No. Like, did you watch Schitt's Creek?
No, I've never seen
it. Oh, my God. Please do it. You and Sarah have not gone down that road?
She's watched a little bit, and I don't know if.
We could talk about it separate from what we're, I guess, telling everyone to stream right here. Yeah. You should stream Saved by the Bell, the new Saved by the Bell right here on Peacock, where you can watch us every day. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show. Austin Eckler will join us in hour number three. We also have Christopher Nolan coming up in hour number three, the writer and director of Tenet. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with one of my favorites that I got to work with. It was right around this time last year, actually. It was week 16, though, that we called a game together in Tampa, Florida, between the Houston Texans, who could not be anywhere remotely further away from the team that they were last year, making their way. They clinched the AFC South that day against Jameis and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Things can change quickly. Certainly, as we saw last night, future Hall of Famer, my colleague from NFL Network, Joe Thomas, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing fairly well, all things considered, but thanks for having me on, Rich.
You got it. I mean, that's a moral victory, and I know that the Browns would like to get out of the moral victory vortex that they've been in for quite some time. But I think we saw a team last night that just ran into a division opponent that knows them well and a quarterback that's a reigning MVP who got hot against them last night. I wonder what your assessment of last night's Browns performance was, Joe.
Yeah, you know, as a coach in the NFL and as players in the NFL, you can never lean on and say, well, yeah, it was a moral victory for us, but we know better, right? For the Browns to be able to come back the second time after being embarrassed in the opener against the Ravens and fight back consistently throughout the night and to be able to make it a game down the stretch, prove that Baker Mayfield can run the two-minute offense, be able to lead those comebacks that you expect a starting franchise quarterback to be able to make. I think they really got a lot of respect. They earned a lot of respect throughout the NFL, and I think they proved something to themselves that they do belong in the upper echelons of the AFC, which was kind of a little bit of a question mark going into this primetime game last night.
Well, I mean, 9-3 is nothing to sneeze at, and neither is 9-4. They hadn't been 10-3 since 1969, so it's been a long time for all that. But they have a top five rush game, right? They have a top five defensive talent, even though he came off the field because he was injured for a brief bit with his elbow in Myles Garrett. What do the Browns, I mean, how dangerous can this team be in your estimation, Joe?
Well, I think they proved last night that they can play with anybody and they could beat anybody. When you have a great rushing attack and you've got a great pass rusher like Myles Garrett and you've got a quarterback right now who's playing his best football of the season, who's not making many mistakes, who, if the defense is trying to take away that great rushing attack, you can put the game on his arm. I mean, Baker threw 47 times last night for almost 350 yards, and I think he consistently showed that he's making the proper decisions within the pocket, using great footwork, delivering the football where it needs to go. And that was something that he wasn't always doing earlier and in the season. And so for him to be playing kind of his best football right now in December, they prove that they've got a chance against anybody. If they're able to get into the playoffs, which I think they will, they're still in great position right now because they've got a bunch of the tiebreakers if it comes down to that down the stretch. But I think they can be a really dangerous team if they're able to get into the playoffs.
Joe Thomas here on the Rich Eisen Show. What has Kevin Stefanski done from your maybe inner working knowledge of what's going on in Berea and that building, Joe? What has he done?
Well, I think he's brought an attention to detail that the team and the organization did not have before he got there. And I think it's really worn off on all those players. It's rubbed off on all those players in that facility because you see that down the stretch. And I think he's built a resilient mindset that maybe the Browns didn't always have. Certainly when I was there, there was this mentality that, you know, something bad was going to happen and it was going to snowball. And no matter what we wanted to do, we just weren't able to hang with teams. And you saw last night, they went down by 2 scores after Baker threw that interception. And for them to be able to fight back, there's a belief, a different belief in this team than certainly when I was there.
So it's how does an attention to detail make such a difference, though? I mean, how does it resonate like that to the tune of 9-4?
Because in the NFL, when you look at games, even when we were terrible, when we were 0-16, 1-15, you're playing a lot of close games, and most NFL games come down to 3 to 5 plays. And if you make those 3 to 5 plays, you win the game. If you don't make them, you can lose by 14, 21 points. And you don't know what those plays are going to be, but when you're focused on those little details, those little things that show up, that you don't think maybe make a big difference when you're preparing during the week. Those are the details and the things that show up on Sunday. They become those 3 to 5 plays that make the difference in a game. And so focusing on, yeah, you got to be good at all the big things, obviously, but focusing on those details is the difference in the NFL so many times on Sundays or Monday nights like it was yesterday.
Joe Thomas, my colleague from NFL Network, NFL Game Day Kickoff, future Pro Football Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joe, you played 10,363 snaps in a row, so you didn't come out. all that said, you've been around the game quite a bit. Your assessment of Lamar Jackson's fourth quarter disappearance last night, Ivy or something else? What do you got for me?
Maybe something else. I got to say something else because I've been on the sideline many times when guys were cramping, guys were getting dehydrated, and the trainer just pulls up with the doctor and sticks an IV needle in your arm and squeezes a bag into you, and then you're good to go. So maybe the protocols have changed in the last 3 years since I've been out of the league, but as far as I know, if you've got the reigning MVP at quarterback, and he proved last night why he's the reigning MVP with so many plays that things broke down, he scrambles, then he gets the first down. Like, you just don't get that many places in the NFL. If that's your guy, I'm giving him an IV on the sideline in between plays. Yeah, I mean, if he has to come out and the defense is on the field, throw the IV in the arm, and then maybe you don't finish it on this drive, but you finish it the next drive. There's only one thing that I can think of that would take you to the locker room for about a 5 to 7 minute stretch. Depending on the literature that he has to read in there.
That's about to say. So you gave me a range there. It did seem longer than 5 to 7 actual minutes. I know it may have taken time to get there, but he definitely moved fast. We saw that. The body language. And his teammates have since given credence to the non-IV excuse. RG3 tweeted out. Did you see the meme? Did you see the meme that he tweeted out? Joe,
he tweeted out
DK Metcalf running down Buda Baker. Buda was Brown's lead, and then the words over DK Metcalf was Lamar after pooping. That was the with no fewer than 7 crying emojis above that photograph. Marlon Humphrey has since tweeted out his teammate Chris. Can you give us an update on Marlon Humphrey's poll question that he put out there?
Yeah. So Joe, Marlon Humphrey tweeted out: did Lamar wash his hands after his Paul Pierce stunt last night? Mm. We're up to 17,000 votes. 60% say no.
How do you read the?
Well, that was always my fear.
Well,
that was always my fear when I was playing, because my hands were taped up like Ninja Turtles. I mean, it took me about 10 minutes just to tape my hands, because I would put my tape on my wrist, then I would put my gloves on, and then I had a thumb cast, and then I would tape everything to my wrist. And so if nature called, once that hand tape went on, there was no getting it off and like doing your duty and then washing your hands. Like, you were fully committed to either not using the restroom until the game was over or going without washing your hands, and not a good outcome either way. So you wanted to make sure that you got taken care of that duty before you got taped up, and,
if you will.
It's a good question. I don't know if we'll ever know.
Well, I mean, again, it just seems his teammates are seemingly having a good time with it, you know, and I don't know if to read anything into that other than the fact that they love this guy, man. And it does look like, you know, the MVP of 2019 has arrived in 2020. Would you agree with that assessment after last night, Joe? Week before, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that, because it was like when he had that little 2-week COVID stretch where he couldn't practice. You know, so much focus early on in the season was about Lamar Jackson improving his down the field passing and being more of a pocket passer. But he didn't have that opportunity to be around his team and practice. And he just, it's almost like he said, ah, screw it. I'm just going to go be Lamar from last year, which is a different level of fast and quick on that field than the rest of the NFL players. And when he's out there and things break down, instead of forcing the ball down the field or scrambling around and trying to deliver the football through the air, he's like, hey, I remember, I'm faster than everybody else out here. I can just go and run for this first down. And I think that's what you're seeing in the last couple of weeks. Certainly last week against Dallas, rushing the football, and then last night against the Browns. The Browns had no answer for Lamar when he got outside the pocket and tucked the ball and started to run.
A few more minutes left with Joe Thomas here on the Rich Eisen Show. So good news for the Pittsburgh Steelers is that the Browns didn't win last night. They're still 2 behind them with 3 to play. So it looks like the Steelers are our AFC North favorites, despite having won 11 straight and now losing 2 in a row. I've got 2 pieces of unfortunate news for the Steelers I'd love to get your 2 cents on, starting one by one. First one is that they still have trouble running the ball. That's their problem. How do you fix something like that so late in the season right now, Joe? How does that get fixed, do you think?
Well, unfortunately for the Steelers, it's not something that can get fixed, because the run game is all about being on the same page. It's all having footwork that's in unison, hand placement, combination blocks, shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, double teams, having the running back being on the same page, understanding who the read is on every play, and making sure that the offensive line is blocking exactly in the same realm as the running back, and they're on the same page from a mental standpoint of, hey, if this guy goes there, I'm going to go this way. And the only way you get better at that is practice and being together. And unfortunately, at this point in the season, you just don't get a lot of that. And this season has been sort of a magnifying glass for teams that don't commit to the run game, because if you're not spending that time in meetings and walkthroughs and practice working on the run game and the coordination that has to happen between everybody that's blocking and running the football, you're not just going to get better at it by having one guy play a little bit better. And I think going into this season, the Steelers certainly wanted to focus on their short passing game with Ben Roethlisberger getting the football out of his hand, and they've been really good at that. But I think because of the time that they spent working on their passing game and their lack of a commitment to the run game, now they don't have that, and teams are sort of starting to take away a lot of those short passes from Big Ben. They don't have that running game to fall back on that they had, and they don't have that physical mentality that Steelers offenses had been known for so long.
And then the second other piece of unfortunate news, even though their 2-game losing streak still has them 2 in front of Cleveland, is it now has them looking up at the Chiefs. Which team in the AFC, Joe, do you think has the best shot of preventing a back-to-back Super Bowl appearance for the defending Super Bowl champs? Which one?
Well, can I be a homer and say the Browns?
No, of course you can. No, you can.
That's always the safe answer, right? Because nobody in Cleveland's going to get mad at me for saying that.
No, I hear you.
Here's how I build the case.
Go for it.
With the Browns running game, you can minimize the possessions for Patrick Mahomes. Yes. And that whole strategy for the Chiefs is we just want as many possessions as we can. Because we know the deviation from the mean is not going to happen if Patrick Mahomes gets the ball more times than the other team. And so I think for the Browns, that running game would be the key weapon. You know their defense is going to give up a lot of points to anybody. I mean, they gave up 47 to the Ravens last night. But if you can go into that game and potentially maybe get some bad weather and say, hey, we're just going to shorten the game. We're going to squeeze the football. We're going to run the ball with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And as long as Baker doesn't turn the ball over, we feel really good about being able to shorten the game, score some points, and keep it close. And then hopefully you're going to be able to have that football on that last drive and run the ball and either expire the clock with the running game or get down the field and score right as time expires and not give Patrick Mahomes the chance to get the football back. Because I don't believe in the Steelers right now. They're fading at the wrong time. And I don't know if I see anybody else in the AFC that really has the kryptonite that you need to be able to stop Patrick Mahomes. I mean, nobody's got that.
Well, so
maybe the best way – Yeah.
No, I don't blame you for saying the Browns, because I've been saying over the last couple of weeks that the team that beats Kansas City or can beat Kansas City has to, you know, as you say, limit possessions. I was saying essentially the same thing by keeping Mahomes on the bench with a run game, with an ability to, you know, confuse him best you can defensively, and then have a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes and play action passes when the run game really has the Chiefs all softened up. The Titans are a team like that. The Browns are a team like that. Mm-hmm. The Bills can be a team like that if they can run the ball with the same effectiveness that they ran the clock out on the Steelers on Sunday night in the last 7 minutes of the game. Other than that, the Bills running game concerns me. But that's the way I'm sussing it out right now. Or Lamar, maybe. I don't know, but the Chiefs have had Lamar's kryptonite. So that's the way I'm looking at it. Could Phillip do it? Could the Colts do it? You know what I mean? We just saw what the Dolphins did, even though they didn't have Gaskin and Van Noy. But could Phillip do it? Do you think? What do you think?
I just don't believe that Phillip Rivers, being more of the traditional pocket passer, and being that their running attack is not as good as it has been, I think you're onto it right there. Like, I don't think anybody can have better odds to beat the Chiefs, but I think if you're going to do it, it's going to have to be done on the ground. Minimize possessions, like you said, play action passing, run the football. Hopefully Patrick presses and, you know, is not able to get into a great rhythm like he usually is, because he's not getting the football as much, or the stretches between him touching the ball are longer, and you're able to maybe just kind of kill the clock a little bit. And he makes a couple mistakes that he doesn't make usually, but I'm not bad at it.
Joe, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. And let's do this more often. I really love watching you on our network, and let's chat down the line. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it, Rich.
You got it. That's Joe Thomas. He's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, Steelers fading, that's definitely a conventional wisdom, right? Bills ascending, that's a conventional wisdom. Titans and Colts. Right now, Titans have the pole position on the AFC South. Raiders fading. That's a good conventional wisdom. Ravens spiking. Browns are who we think they are, which is a dangerous team. I believe they are. We'll see what happens with Tua and the Dolphins. Can they stay in front of the Ravens? Can the Ravens catch the Browns? I just think, again, as I mentioned to start the week yesterday, the one thing that the AFC had going for it all season long is that the Chiefs did not have home field advantage by its own. Sole possession of the one bye week. Now they do. Look out. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Giannis Antetokounmpo. During that conversation, it was announced he has made his decision on signing with the Bucks. Short term, long term, super max, no max. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you agree.
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Jaws, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I just can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C-note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.
The Marlon Humphrey tweet asking yay or nay on his teammate washed his hands after his Paul Pierce quote-unquote stunt last night now has 20,000 votes with 20 hours to go. I'm going to vote yes because I love Lamar Jackson.
Well, you want to believe that it's yes, too. So,
well, as you just heard from Joe Thomas, a lot of potty talk today.
Love it.
I mean, that's the way it goes.
And he's, you know, had his hands all taped up and wrapped up and whatever. I just don't know if intravenouses can go in an arm on the field due to COVID. They might have changed all that. Yeah.
So he had to go back.
That's a good point.
But I'm just wondering that you got it. Yeah, that, we're not sticking needles in arms on sidelines. Like we need to go to a spot that has been cleaned and cleared and medically cleaned and cleared and all that business. You know, so I don't know. Could do it in a blue tent, whatever, but. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We were just talking to radio audiences. A lot of potty talk today. I remember the old Qualcomm, you know, when we used to pay fealty to it.
Oh, I think it just got torn down.
Did it really?
I think so.
The old Qualcomm. I mean, I was talking to, I forget who I was having a conversation with about, could the Charger have stayed in San Diego? And I'm like, it's possible they could have. That was the worst football facility I've been, and I mean, I've been to Oakland. The old Coliseum there, and that was pretty dreadful too, because just like San Diego is a converted baseball stadium and football stadium, and in Oakland, I just remember in the tunnels underneath the stadium when Raiders games would be playing, still in the season when the A's were playing, they would have piles of infield dirt and piles of warning track dirt underneath the stadium, just sitting there, just a massive pile of dirt.
Really?
Yes, that they would have to have at their disposal when the Raiders were done, and to keep the infield up and the warning track up. And when it rained, it would just get everywhere. It was a total, complete, holy hell of a mess. Awful. But at least you could get in and out of the spot somewhat simple. It's right off of the freeway. I mean, right there. To get to the old San Diego Stadium, it was the absolute worst. It honestly makes Dodger Stadium look like an empty parking lot. It was the worst. And but I do remember the old facility there. There was on the home sideline a door to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that we on occasion would use, you know, because we're on the field for halftime and before the game and after the game. We would be standing on the field getting ready to do halftime. Got to use the facility, you go right in there. I remember one time I was coming out and there was a Charger like waiting to use it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, sorry. I know you got a game, but you know, I got a halftime.
Did you wash your hands after?
Yes, I did, TJ.
Great question.
Hey, I'm just trying to always show up here on the Rich Eisen Show, allow you, the viewer and listener, to tap into my vast working knowledge of bathrooms and football. Just saying.
It's like Costanza. Like, always knew the best bathroom in town. Yeah. Like, depending what neighborhood like, you're in.
You know, we might as well go here. We might as well go here. You know, if you're Lamar Jackson, you'd have held it. Because you can't go in any spot except your home. You're a home team guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm like Eddie K. Thomas in American Pie.
So I'm just saying.
Something break.
I don't understand.
Hey, Rich, you know, I put on Twitter yesterday, you would think at this point, yes, just like there's a blue tent for emergencies, that there would be a tent with a bucket in it just in case of, you know, emergencies.
I don't know, man. But he came out just in time. Literally, I mean, fourth down. And the guy who replaced him, the only guy who was an actual quarterback on the roster. I thought they would have to go to their own Kendall Hinton, whoever that is. There's got to be one of those guys. I don't know who the third emergency quarterback for the Ravens was last night, but that guy was ready to come in, and out comes Lamar at that time. I mean, the words were coming out of Steve Levy's mouth like, I don't know who's going to be playing right now if McSorley's that hurt. Literally, that was the moment. Two-minute warning hit, too.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, Ravens didn't have to – I mean, they had time to collect themselves, and he came out there, and what, I mean,
it was crazy.
He had green grass in front of him. I thought he was going to run for that first down. He decided to throw, and I'm like, why would you do that? Oh, that's why, because he's wide open.
Yeah.
And then of all the people, it's the guy who was tweeting out earlier in the season, I'm here, everybody, you know, and then I had to delete his tweet because it made it look like he was complaining about the offense and his quarterback not being as sufficient.
Yep.
He also had like four drops earlier in this game.
Oh, my God. And one from McSorley who threw – and that was what led to the comeback for Mayfield, is McSorley made the one throw to keep the chains moving, and he dropped it.
You know, we had,
oh, my gosh.
We had Hollywood Brown come in a few days before he got drafted.
Correct.
And, you know, we loved him. Great guy. So I was happy because he was going to hear about it after dropping those balls yesterday. I was so glad he caught that
ball. What a game. Oh, my gosh. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take some calls in a second. Now then, Daryl Morey tweeted out an emoji before, and we're wondering what it was, right? That's how we started our hour. There it was, right there. It was like a not a happy emoji about something. We thought maybe it had to do with his team and Harden or whatever. Maybe he was one of those guys that was hoping that Giannis would leave Milwaukee and not sign the Supermax. Maybe he's one of those guys getting ready to go all in to dive into Milwaukee's misery if Giannis decided to only sign for 1 year, not the Supermax, wanted to wait around and see what was going on there, didn't want to stay in Milwaukee, was ready to swoop in, like much of the league. And maybe that's what that emoji was for, because Giannis has, according to all reports, including his own Twitter account, he has signed a 5-year deal to stay in Milwaukee. Let's make these years count. The show goes on. Let's get on it, with a heart emoji and a thankful prayer emoji as well. Called it his city. He's blessed. And according to Woj, it is, in fact, for the full-on $228 million Supermax. So the people who are wiping their brows thankful and giving the old moment, the Bucks, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the NBA that has set up the Supermax proviso in their collective bargaining agreement just for this moment, this type of player, that type of franchise in a city that isn't Los Angeles or New York or Miami or any of the so-called hot spots in North American NBA hometowns. Mm-hmm. Just exactly for this moment, we in Milwaukee can give you more than anyone else. You cannot get this much money if you want to go elsewhere. Thus, sign here. Keep somebody like Giannis in a place like Milwaukee as opposed to going to Miami or Philadelphia or Los Angeles and creating a big, huge-ass super team.
It's good
or
for the game.
Brooklyn. We had Brian Windhorst of ESPN on over, I guess, the summer talking about this when the bubble was beginning to disperse, saying that if Giannis did not sign the Supermax, they might as well remove this proviso from the next collective bargaining agreement. Might as well just blow it up, because if Giannis doesn't sign with Milwaukee, then this clause did not work as intended, and you might as well just blow it all up. And now the NBA can say it worked. It worked. another team isn't going to be, you know, breaking itself up and creating a super team, and Milwaukee left with Jrue Holiday and whatever players are coming for Giannis. And that they didn't mortgage their future. They actually made a plan, and Giannis was in on it, and he's up for it, and he's staying. So, does that mean the Bucks can now cut his brother, or what? Is that cold?
That might have been part of the, that might have been part of the deal.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just
his other brother's on
facetious.
The Lakers.
Yeah,
he's
everyone, yeah, you know. No, I know, but hey, now the Bucks are ready to go, and we'll see what happens up there.
Now, don't choke in the playoffs.
OMG,
Joe Thomas. 10,363 straight snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't use the bathroom. 161 straight games. That just, it's just sitting
dude,
on
we're
my
talking
head.
About the NBA.
Yeah,
what is
Giannis? Giannis? Where'd that come from?
Just, we just had Joe Thomas on, and I'm still thinking about pooping.
That's fair. I'm talking about Giannis pooping in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I can't wait to. I'm glad that we're going to get to see it.
Yeah, me too.
It's good for
you
the
know, and I know, you know, the Knicks were. Hoping against hope, and all other teams were hoping against
everybody
hope that
hoping,
he was going to blow this thing up, and one of the greatest players in the last 20-some-odd years could be up for grabs. But he's not. He's sticking around in Milwaukee.
I mean, he's sticking around.
He's got an option, after year four?
For now.
Year four, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I know all superstars.
If it goes bad next year, it's Trade City USA.
I don't know about that, Chris. He strikes me as a different cat.
He does. He seems like he likes that small town vibe.
That's what everyone was saying.
Phil, yeah.
He's a European player who likes the small town vibe. He likes what it is up there. And
if they get bounced in the first round, we'll really see how much he likes it. Just being honest.
Yeah. True.
But
I'm
happy for Milwaukee right now.
Miami gets to stay put.
Everyone's staying put.
They don't blow anything up. Harden is sitting around. He's playing games for a team that he clearly doesn't want to play for. I don't think he's showing up in the Eastern Conference. Ball gets tipped a week from tonight, by the way.
Yeah. All right, who wins
and
the
so,
East?
And so, you know, Sixers have retooled with the front office and their coach and, you know, moved things around to get more, if you will, with the Embiid-Simmons program, getting out of Horford out of Dodge and bringing in Seth Curry was a nice pickup. Danny Green, nice pickup.
You got
Brooklyn. You got Kyrie and Durant and Dinwiddie and Steve Nash. You got the Heat. You know what I'll do? I'll take the Heat.
Yeah?
Nobody wants Boston in this?
Well, you pound a table. What do you
pound the table? We got the same team.
Yes, you do. You run it back.
No Gordon Hayward.
I know.
Fine. There was minutes from the finals last year.
But who is the team that beat you?
Miami.
Is you picking the Heat to go to the finals, Rich?
I don't know.
It's still early, obviously, but.
I don't know. They looked really good. They might have just gotten hot at the right time. I love that Tyler Hero guy, man.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
I love him. His upside is absurd. His upside could be absurd is what I'm saying. Like superstar absurd. You know, just getting started absurd. Tyler Hero.
I agree.
You know, speaking of Harden, I was thinking of this yesterday. If things got contentious with Houston and James Harden and they decide to get rid of him, where would the worst place for James Harden be? And I think that if Houston wanted to really get at James Harden, they'd send him to Utah.
No, they'd do him a favor to send him to Utah. I know you might be talking
on court, they'd do him a favor. No, off court, which court, they're not doing him any favors.
How about this
sending
one?
Him to Utah?
No, if they really want to screw him over, there's one place to send him to. There's only one place to send him to.
The Knicks.
New York City.
Yeah. That would be doing him a favor.
Well, how's that a favor?
Well, off the court favor.
He's very into the off the court.
On the court, not a favor.
You're doing him a favor sending him to the greatest city possible. Well, arguably the greatest city.
Greatest city in the world, to use the Hamilton phrase.
No, you sent James Harden, who loves the nightlife, to Utah? Oh, my goodness. It's not going to be great for him.
Basketball.
I don't know. There's private jets that can take you to Las Vegas, Nevada. That's very quick right there.
Good point.
I don't know.
Memphis,
he's not going
Sacramento.
Anywhere. He's not going anywhere. How does that sound?
I kind of agree.
How does that sound? Because there's no way they're getting value back for him.
And
they got 2 years of contractual control.
I still feel like Miami's in play.
For him?
Yeah.
Who would you give up?
Pat Riley's not just going to sit around and not do anything.
Running it back is not an option?
But they didn't win, so a guy like Pat Riley is just going to keep tinkering until he gets it right.
But if you're Houston,
they're not beating the Lakers how they're currently constructed. So you got to do something.
I don't know, man.
And to get Harden, you got to get rid of your boy Harrow.
They weren't full strength against the Lakers. How does that sound? How about that? They were not full strength against the Lakers. They were not. They got hurt. Players. If you're a team, and that's why you've got a superstar in Butler.
I get it. But
if you're a team and you lose two important spokes from that wheel, and I understand what you're saying about LeBron and Anthony
player,
Davis.
So if you bring in, you swap out Harden for Dragic, like, come on.
But would Houston do that? Really? That's it? That's all you'd have to lose?
No, I'm just saying, you're talking about one of the guys who got injured. It was Goran Dragic.
But it would take
James Harden instead. Like, come on.
You say that like Goran Dragic. Goran isn't nice, though, bro.
He's not James Harden.
Yeah, obviously. But you're giving up Tyler Harrow in that?
We're talking about the Laker team, a Laker team that got younger and better than last year.
I get it.
It pains me to say that.
I don't know, man. I don't profess to sit here and say I know what Pat Riley is going to do or think or you know, the guy's got more basketball knowledge truly in the fingertip than I have my entire body. But why would he blow it? I mean, it would have to be Adebayo and somebody. It would have to be Hero and somebody. It would have to be one of the three you just mentioned, Dragic, Hero, Adebayo. It would have to be two of those three. If you're Houston, to send Harden with 2 years of contractual control to do it. I mean, and if you're Miami, do you do that? Do you do that on the eve of a season and say to your coach, or do you just say to your coach right now, COVID is insane still. Nobody's getting a needle stuck in their arms for a while around here. You saw Major League Baseball is thinking of delaying its season start until everybody is immunized. I mean, so it's not like you're going to have a whole bunch of time to work somebody like Harden in, no matter what a superstar he is. It's going to take time. We talk about it all the time. Tom Brady's still getting used to his offense in the NFL. And so why would you do that on the eve of a season, blow it up and think, okay, by next April and May in our COVID season, we'll get it right. Or you run it back. And see how it goes.
I read on Twitter that Houston was asking the Sixers for Ben Simmons plus three threes.
There's pound sand. Pound it.
So he's staying in Houston.
That's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong.
I agree.
But
they're not going to get value.
I'm the Rockets. I tell Harden's reps, you go find it. You go find it and you let us know when these are the names that we're probably going to want back. You let us know. Because we've knocked on the door. We're not interested. We got John Wall. We got him. Let's go. Coach Silas is going to be the next great coach in this league. We believe in him. We believe in you. We love you, James. You know Houston. Let's go. We're the ones who let you give away all that cash and honey buns. Those are words I just said with no hint of irony into a microphone on national TV and radio. And people know what I'm talking about.
Stone
That's the face, world we live in.
Too.
I did say stone-faced. Yeah. Yeah. We got 50 seconds left in the radio audience. You want to talk about Joe Thomas and pooping one more time? We're good.
I mean, it's just
I don't know what's on your mind over there, TJ. I mean, we're sitting here talking NBA, and you're like, you know. Anyway, Austin Eckler of the Los Angeles Chargers is joining us. And then Christopher Nolan, the writer and director of Tenet and so many great movies. So many great movies. Memento and Interstellar and the Batman trilogy. The Prestige.
Great film.
And Tenet. And we're going to have a great film conversation with an auteur of the first variety. Christopher Nolan will be joining us. You should, too, at 844-204-RICH. Hour 3 of the Rich Eisen Show on the other side on radio. For Peacock, stick around. Don't go anywhere. What's been the general sense of this moment of Giannis on Twitter over there, Chris?
Everyone's very excited, Bucks fans, and Bucks.
Has Aaron Rodgers tweeted out yet?
Kind of the favorite. Oh, part owner, Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
I don't think
TJ,
so.
TJ, is Mallory Eden's Instagram anything out yet? I'm sure you follow her.
I actually don't, but I know
that's
who you're talking
that's
about.
Weird.
Wait, who is that, Rich?
That's weird.
Let's check it out, though.
Oh, yeah. Look at all of us. We've all gone short. This is what Pat Riley's thinking right now. Harden? I don't know.
Was it Bobani who told us Pat Riley will do whatever it takes to get James Harden?
Yep.
Harden to Miami is trending in the United States right now.
Why? Am I nuts? Am I nuts? Why? Would you trade Tyler Hero if that's what it takes? Would you really flip a 20-year-old away? Really? Okay. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
And then tell, Coach Spo to go, you make it work? Come on, Spo. Here we go. Make it work in COVID. Austin Eckler coming up.